You might think that a straightforward business handover, you know, from one entity to another would be just a matter of paperwork, right?
Naturally, yeah.
But what we're diving into today is anything but simple. We're looking at the very stuck transition of the Barbados sugar industry, specifically the proposed $16 million investment from Co-op Energy into what was formerly the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, or BAMC.
Right, BMC.
It's a situation with, well, more twists than a sugarcane field.
And we have a really detailed piece of research here, aptly titled Barbados Sugar Industry Investment Research. It really lays bare the complexities of this whole affair.
So, what's our mission here?
Our goal in this deep dive is to really try and understand the core issues preventing this transition for you. Like, what are the fundamental disagreements and what could the wider consequences be?
Absolutely. And to grasp why things are at this impasse, we need to take a quick look back. The sugar industry, as our research emphasizes, isn't just any business in Barbados. It's deeply ingrained in the nation's history.
It was the economic engine for centuries.
Exactly. But its contribution to the country's wealth has, well, shrunk dramatically. We're talking about a slide from a peak in the 1970s down to just 1.4% of GDP by 2005.
Wow, that's a big drop.
Huge. And for the past 30 years, the government has been significantly involved, channeling over $1 billion in subsidies to BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
$1 billion.
Yeah. And interestingly, the IMF reportedly advised against continuing that level of support.
Well, what's fascinating when you look at the history and the role of the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation is how policies meant to help might have, inadvertently created some of the problems we see now.
How so?
For instance, the research mentions the Sugar Industry Act of 1971. It aimed to protect jobs and things, which is understandable, but it might have reduced the incentive for private investment over the long haul
Ah, okay.
and potentially depleted capital within BAMC itself. This really frames why the government sought this transition in the first place, trying to move towards a more sustainable model, maybe diversifying beyond just raw sugar.
Exactly. And that brings us to the key players in this drama. The Barbados government and their state-owned entity, BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, alongside Co-op Energy. That stands for the Barbados Sustainable Energy Cooperative Society, LTD.
Right, Co-op Energy. They're newer on the scene.
Much newer. Launched in 2020, they were the first renewable energy co-op in the nation, and they have a really forward-thinking mission: empower Barbadians to invest in clean energy and push for 100% clean energy by 2030.
Which is a very ambitious goal.
Very. Their core principle is about giving citizens ownership through this cooperative model.
And here's where the paths of, like, a historically vital entity like the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation and a newcomer like Co-op Energy intersects in a really complex way. Co-op Energy's main focus isn't sugar, actually.
No.
No. But their interest shows they see potential synergies, linking agriculture with renewable energy. Think bagasse combustion.
Using the waste product for fuel.
Exactly. But the crux of the issue right now, as the research details, is this proposed $16 million investment from Co-op Energy. It was meant to facilitate the handover of operations and assets from BAMC.
Okay.
The government even requested an initial $4 million payment, which hasn't been made. And that's a major point of contention.
Okay, so let's really get into the weeds of this standoff. Let's look at it from both sides, starting with Co-op Energy's perspective.
Okay.
They argue quite strongly that the transition isn't complete at all. They're saying BANMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, is still effectively in control because there hasn't been a formal transfer of assets.
So no keys handed over, essentially.
Pretty much. They claim they haven't received proper communication or the assets themselves, despite actively trying to engage with the government.
What really stands out from Co-op Energy's position is their insistence that the fundamental obstacle is a government's failure to provide independently verified valuations of BAMC's assets and liabilities, the ones supposed to be transferred.
Right, the valuation. That seems critical.
It is. Think about it from their perspective. How can you responsibly invest $16 million without a clear, unbiased understanding of what you're actually buying into?
You wouldn't.
Exactly. It's a matter of fundamental due diligence, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You wouldn't buy a house without an independent inspection, right?
Precisely.
And Co-op Energy is also pushing back against public statements suggesting the transition is a done deal, which, raises questions about the government's transparency throughout this whole
Yeah,
process.
that discrepancy is interesting.
But it gets even more layered. Co-op Energy is accusing the government of essentially changing the rules of the game. They say they're reneging on key commitments made in the initial memorandum of understanding, the MOU.
Yes, and this is a critical point to understand the breakdown in trust. Co-op Energy claims the initially agreed ownership structure, 55% for them, 20% for workers, and 25% for private investors, has been unilaterally altered.
Altered how?
They state that the government now intends to hold on to that 25% stake itself.
Oh, okay. So the government keeps a piece.
Apparently. Furthermore, they allege that the promised employee share offer, which was supposed to give workers a 20% stake and representation on the board, kind of a cornerstone of the cooperative model, is now on hold.
So, from Co-op Energy's viewpoint, it's not just about the $16 million. They feel the very foundation of the agreement has shifted.
Exactly. Key aspects like worker empowerment and their own majority ownership, which likely factored into their initial calculations and vision, are now uncertain.
And they keep emphasizing that those independent valuations from BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, are crucial for them to proceed responsibly, something they believe was clearly outlined in the MOU.
Right. Now let's pivot and examine the government side of this, primarily through the statements of the Minister of Agriculture, Indar Weir.
Okay, the official position.
Their stance is quite firm. The assets will not be transferred until Co-op Energy fulfills its $16 million financial commitment. That includes the initial $4 million payment, which they assert is overdue.
So pay it first, then get the assets.
That's the message. They see this as a simple matter of Co-op Energy meeting their agreed-upon obligations.
And Minister Weir directly disputes Co-op Energy's claims of being ignored, right?
He does. He maintains that the government has provided the necessary financial information, the MOU itself, and a signed shareholders agreement.
Okay, so the documents are there, according to him.
Yes. He also highlights that Co-op Energy was granted multiple extensions to make their financial contribution, suggesting that the delay rests squarely on their shoulders. It paints a very different picture than what Co-op Energy is presenting.
It really does. It's like two completely different realities.
What's fascinating here is the stark divergence in how each side frames the central issue. The government presents it as a straightforward failure by Co-op Energy to meet financial commitments.
Just pay the money.
While Co-op Energy argues they can't responsibly commit financially without the necessary due diligence info from the government regarding the assets of BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
It's a classic standoff, isn't it? Chicken and egg. So Minister Weir dismisses Co-op Energy's assertions as simply incorrect and reiterates that they haven't injected the promised funds.
Right. But interestingly, he does acknowledge that the sugar industry is currently operating under BESCO LTD and ABC LTD, those new entities formed from the BAMMC restructuring.
Okay, so someone's running the show day to day.
Yes, and they are utilizing government-owned assets. However, he's very clear. These companies don't legally own those assets yet. That transfer, he insists, is entirely dependent on Co-op Energy's $16 million investment materializing.
This creates a really peculiar situation for you to consider operational control without legal ownership.
Exactly. What are the long-term implications of that? It raises questions about incentives, you know.
Yep.
Why invest heavily in assets you don't actually own?
Good point. It highlights the level of disagreement, maybe even a fundamental misunderstanding, especially when you contrast it with Co-op Energy's earlier statements about, you know, taking control. Let's delve a bit deeper into these crucial agreements. Starting with the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, signed back in May 2023.
Okay, the starting point.
As we've discussed, this was intended to be the initial framework for this significant divestment of the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation's assets. The initial understanding, as the research suggests, outlined that 55% stake for Co-op Energy, 20% for the workers, and 25% for private investors.
The original split.
But, as we know, Co-op Energy is now alleging that the government has unilaterally changed this, wanting to retain that 25% for themselves.
And this alleged unilateral change, if true, is really significant for you to understand. It would fundamentally alter the structure of the deal Co-op Energy thought they were getting into.
It changes the maths, presumably.
Absolutely. It could impact their financial projections, their overall appetite for the venture, and then there's the employee share offer.
The 20% for workers.
Co-op Energy claims this promise, which included that 20% stake and, crucially, board representation for the workers, is now on hold. This would certainly undermine the cooperative principles. You know, the idea of empowering the very people who worked under BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
adds to the complexity, right? Because Co-op Energy also claims the government hasn't provided those essential independent management and financial reports of BAM and C.
The ones stipulated in the MOU, they say.
Yeah. Without these, as we discussed, they can't do their necessary due diligence. It's worth remembering, though, that MOUs can sometimes be legally ambiguous.
True. Their enforceability often hinges on the specific wording and the clear intentions of all parties. It's not always black and white.
So following the MOU, a shareholders agreement was signed by Co-op Energy before December 2023.
Right. The next step, legally.
The government, as Minister Weir pointed out, views this agreement as legally binding and believes it obligated Co-op Energy to make their financial contribution at that time.
That's their key point. You signed, now pay.
But Co-op Energy offers a different interpretation for you to consider. They argue that their ability to fulfill the shareholders agreement is directly contingent on first receiving those independently verified asset valuations from BAMOC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
The valuation issue again?
Exactly. They believe this was an implicit condition in both the MOU and, frankly, is standard practice in any significant business transaction. So you have two distinct interpretations of the obligations and the agreed upon timeline.
It really highlights the disconnect.
And then we have the formation of ABC LTD and Besco LTD in December 2023.
The operating companies.
These are the two companies essentially carved out of the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation to manage the day-to-day operations going forward. ABC LTD handles the agricultural side, managing over 4,500 acres.
And Besco LTD oversees the operations of the Port Vale Sugar Factory itself.
Now, the reported initial equity allocation in these new companies was 55% Co-op Energy Barbados, 20% workers, and 25% government.
So that matches the alleged new structure, not the original MOU structure.
Interesting point. It suggests that, at least on paper, the restructuring according to the government's current view had begun. And as we've heard, these entities are managing daily operations with sugar ops reportedly starting in January 2024.
But, and this is a crucial point for you to understand the current stalemate, Minister Weir has repeatedly emphasized that while these companies are operating the industry, they do not legally own the underlying assets.
Still owned by the government via BAMC.
Correct. The government, through BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, is still holding on to ownership until that $16 million investment from Co-op Energy is received.
It's this disconnect between who is running things day to day and who legally owns them that creates this very uncertain, potentially unstable situation.
Definitely unstable.
Let's try to understand what Co-op Energy's long-term vision is for the sugar industry. It's clearly not just about continuing the traditional model of sugar production, is it?
No, absolutely not. Their plan seems much more innovative, more forward-looking. Co-op Energy envisions a fundamental transformation into a modern energy industry. Their primary focus shifts from sugar and molasses as the main outputs to generating electricity through biogas combustion.
Using the sugarcane fibers.
Exactly, as a renewable biofuel source. In this vision, sugar and molasses become secondary byproducts. It's a significant strategic shift.
And this vision aligns perfectly with their core identity as a renewable energy cooperative, doesn't it?
It really does. It's a way to not only revitalize a historic industry, but also to contribute to Barbados's energy independence by reducing reliance on imported fossil fuels, which is a key national objective.
And there was also that strong emphasis on worker empowerment right from the outset, correct? Considering the history of the workers within the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, that seems significant.
Yes, initial plans did include significant ownership stakes for the workers. While the exact percentages reported have varied a bit, sometimes 20%, sometimes suggesting up to 45% combined for all sugar workers, the underlying intention was clear. Give the workers a real stake.
A piece of the action.
Right. In fact, the government announced back in March 2024 that over 11,000 workers would become co-owners of 20% of the stock. That sounded like a major step towards that goal.
But, and there's always a but. In this story, it seems, here is where we encounter another layer of complication for you to consider. Because Co-op Energy later claimed that this employee share offer is now on hold.
On hold. So it hasn't happened.
That's their claim. If this is the case, it means the workers might not have the promised board representation, which really undermines the cooperative aspect of the entire venture.
And potentially impacts the long-term viability and worker buy-in, especially after decades under the management of the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation. That buy-in is crucial.
Definitely. So if we try to synthesize all of this information for you, what are the key factors that has led to this seemingly intractable stalled transition? We've touched on several already, but let's bring them into sharper focus.
Okay, let's boil it down.
Well, the most obvious one is the unmet financial obligation. The government consistently points to Co-op Energy's $16 million investment, including that initial $4 million, as the primary obstacle.
From their perspective, it's simple. You haven't paid.
Right. A contractual obligation not fulfilled.
But equally critical, from Co-op Energy's vantage point, is the lack of those independently verified asset valuations from BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
They keep coming back to that.
Because it's fundamental. They argue, and it's a commercially sound argument, that they cannot responsibly invest such a significant sum without a clear, unbiased understanding of the true worth and potential liabilities. They can't just rely on the seller's assessment.
Makes sense. Then you have the alleged unilateral changes to the MOU, the government reportedly wanting to retain a 25% stake, and the uncertainty around the employee share offer.
Yeah, those potential shifts in the agreed terms could certainly impact Co-op Energy's willingness, and maybe even their financial capacity, to proceed with the deal as they originally envisioned it.
And underlying all of these specific points is a clear breakdown in communication and, perhaps more importantly, trust.
Trust seems key here.
The conflicting public statements, the accusations flying from both sides, it just paints a picture of a relationship that has become deeply strained.
You've got Co-op Energy feeling they aren't getting the info they need and that agreements are being changed.
While the government feels Co-op Energy just isn't holding up their end of the bargain financially.
It's also worth considering that there might be other dynamics at play. Maybe political considerations or bureaucratic hurdles that aren't immediately visible in the public info.
True, there could be more going on behind the scenes.
But at its core, it seems to revolve around that fundamental disagreement on the sequence of events. Should the investment precede the verified valuations and asset transfer from BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, or should it be the other way around?
That's the crux of it.
And this core disagreement is clearly exacerbated by the erosion of trust and the lack of transparent communication.
To really illustrate how this situation has unfolded for you, let's briefly recap some of the key events in the timeline.
Okay, a quick walkthrough.
We saw the long-term decline of the sugar industry before 2023, followed by the signing of that initial MOU in May 2023, laying out the intentions for the divestment of the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
Then, before December 2023, Co-op Energy reportedly signed the shareholders' agreement, presumably with the expectation that the initial payment would follow.
December 18th, 2023 was the date when BAMC, the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, supposedly severed staff and initiated the handover, at least according to Co-op Energy's account.
And just a day later, the division of BAMC into ABC LTD and BESCO LTD was reported, along with that initial equity allocation.
However, by January 8th, 2024, Co-op Energy was already publicly expressing concerns. They were worried about the stall in the process and the lack of those crucial asset valuations from the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
Things started to sour pretty quickly then.
Seems so. In mid-January 2024, sugar operations reportedly commenced under the management of ABC and BESCO. But then, in late February, there were reports of potential delays to the harvest due to contract issues.
And then, really interestingly, in March 2024, Co-op Energy issued a press release stating that the transition was complete.
Which clearly contradicts everything that happened afterwards.
Completely. It just highlights the level of confusion, maybe miscommunication, surrounding the whole process.
By June 2024, Co-op Energy was claiming that their operational involvement had effectively stalled.
Right. Fast forward to January 2025, and we start seeing reports confirming the deal is stalled and mentioning the government's changed position regarding ownership.
And looking ahead, the anticipated start of the 2025 harvest is around February, but with significant uncertainty surrounding ownership, as highlighted in reports from March 2025.
And Co-op Energy openly accusing the government of broken promises. The future of this transition looks very precarious indeed.
The sour reality, as some reports have aptly put it, seems to be the current state of affairs.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well.
So, to bring it all together for you, the central takeaway from this deep dive is that a really promising vision for the future of the Barbados sugar industry.
One embracing renewable energy, worker participation.
Moving on from the traditional structure under the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation, well, that vision is currently mired in a serious stalemate.
And it's primarily due to these fundamental disagreements over money, over the asset valuations, and just a significant erosion of trust between the key stakeholders.
We are left with these conflicting perspectives and a rather unstable situation where private companies are managing assets still legally owned by the government.
That kind of limbo. It's unlikely to foster long-term stability or encourage the necessary investment for the industry's future.
And if this impasse isn't resolved, the potential negative consequences for Barbados are significant. We could see continued financial strain on the government.
Ongoing uncertainty for the thousands of workers whose livelihoods depend on this industry.
And a very real risk of missing out on valuable opportunities for economic diversification through integrating renewable energy.
Yeah, the stakes are pretty high.
This entire situation prompts a really important question for you to consider. Given Barbados's ambitious national goal of achieving 100% reliance on clean energy by 2030,
a huge goal.
How absolutely critical is the success of this particular transition? You know, the one aiming to integrate renewable energy with such a historically significant industry like sugar, previously managed by the Barbados Agricultural Management Corporation.
And what broader lessons can we all learn about the complexities of public-private partnerships?
Yeah.
About the indispensable role of clear, transparent agreements.
Right.
And having that solid foundation of mutual trust when you're striving to achieve significant national, economic, and environmental objectives.
It certainly gives you a lot to think about.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in digging deeper into the economic landscape of Barbados and exploring more research on this and related topics, we highly recommend checking out researchbarbados.com.
Yeah, it's a valuable resource for staying informed on these kinds of developments.
Definitely worth a look.